Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I am Leona Abraham Brando, host for Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light. We've had quite an interesting week this week with guests being on the show, and it has been really, really hectic. But today, we have on the show with us Chinupu Guhamani again, who will be helping to talk about the elderly Native Indians of South Dakota who are in crisis of housing eviction. We are going to be talking about these things, but prior to speaking up about it, I'd like to let everyone know that the National Indian Council on Aging has a board of directors, and if anyone is interested of the Native Indians to join them, they are welcoming interested board members. They must be 55 years of age or older and enrolled members of the American Indian Native Tribes. So just to keep that in mind. But we are going to be talking with Chinupu Guhamani and others that will be coming in to talk about the elderly being evicted. And this is a crisis which they really need to address today. And this is pertaining to elderly people in a state that right now has much snow and is very, very cold. So these people are going to have a very difficult time. And Chinupu Guhamani, an avid advocate and activist for his people, will join us to speak out on these injustices and the oppression that the Native Indians are going through. So everyone, I'd like you to listen. And if at any time you'd like to call in, the number is 657-383-1630. If there's anyone that would like to assist these individuals, whether it be with clothing, whether it be with some kind of help that can be provided to them while they are going through this crisis, they are very much in need of a lot of it. And again, we are going to be having them on the show to talk about their situations, the crisis that they are in, and hopefully someone out there listening will be able to help in some way. Chinupu Guhamani contacted someone from the National Indian Council on Aging, and he was bounced around from one person to another, which is something that we all go through when we're trying to get help for us, for our loved ones, or for someone that we know is desperately in need of help. So we are hoping that someone will call in that will hear the stories of these individuals and will be able to help out in some way. So I want to thank all of you for listening in. And again, I'm sorry for the previous chaotic situations that we have been in with people coming on the show. They want to get their stories out. They either forget to call in. They forget to come on. I don't know what it is. But we have to keep in mind that I, too, have a busy schedule. I have an organization to run. I have a radio show to host. I have people that are on waiting list to be able to tell their stories. And then when we have these shows where no one comes on after begging to come on, we are in a crisis situation ourselves with Blog Talk Radio Shedding Light. So we had Chinupu Guhamani on with us. Apparently he has dropped. So I don't know where we will go from here other than to hope and pray that these individuals do get the help that they need. Unfortunately, I don't have time to wait, so I'm going to have to end this episode as well. Thank you all for listening in. Okay, Chinupu, are you on with us?
Yes, I am on with you. I've been trying to get these families to get on this dang show.
Okay, let me put it this way. The show was just about to end because, okay, I would like to have, okay, do you want to tell your story? Because this is not a game. I have a radio show to run. I don't have time for bullshit. Excuse my language. But this has been going on for the last 2 days. Yeah, I've been having people wanting to tell their stories, and just please tell the audience what you'd like to tell them.
I'm going to call myself. You guys going to get on? I thought you said 10:30 or 11. You didn't specify.
No, I said 12:30 Eastern time is how this show goes. Eastern time at every time. Yeah. I'm going to put myself on mute. Let you talk to the audience. Tell them.
Okay. My name
Chinooki,
is Lewis.
You're going to head this. You're going to head this radio show, okay? Because right now I'm not in any position or mood to be able to talk to anyone. So you're going to host. I'm on the show with you. I will let you know when callers call in.
All right, appreciate that, Louis. This show is your guys' concern and everything that's going on with the way the Oglala Sioux Tribes Housing Authority is reacting to your guys' position of making you homeless. And I do this constantly, and some of my colleagues, they get frustrated because I'm suspecting that families, like, you know, if they have phones, because I called Maxine to get her on the show, Megan answered it, nobody else is answering your phone, and this is serious stuff because they're going to end up...
Yeah, everyone is in a process of trying to move out. We don't know what's going on.
That's right. That's why we're trying to...
Everyone's in that mode of, you know, crisis management. We're moving things out of the house right now. We don't know what's going on. We don't know. Like Doris said, the vice president was elected by the people, not the housing authority. And she failed to act on our behalf. Kind of, who's the leaders here? The Oglala Sioux Housing Authority or this tribe? We're supposed to have Oglala Sioux tribal system, and yet the Oglala Sioux Lakota Housing Authority is making decisions on our people that are getting evicted, tribal members, who are obligated to have treaty homes on treaty land. I never seen an Oglala Sioux tribe with a deed for this land, nor did I ever see the Oglala Lakota housing with a deed. How are we supposed to be moving off our treaty land? They did the same thing to my grandfather. His name was Anton Joseph Genese. They got him to move off the reservation. He settled in Fort Collins. He started that little community there. It was in 1877, they said, all Indians have to move back to the reservation. And yet he stayed over there with his wife. He got ill and he passed away, so his wife left everything and came home. I always think about those. He's buried not 100 yards from where I live. My son's buried 100 yards from where I live. I told the housing that, you know, I could just leave and go ahead and leave, but I said, my parents are buried there. My grandparents, my relatives. And yet, protection continues to let cars drive by, drive through to the graveyard, and they even shot my windows out 3-4 times. The police said, are your cars insured? They weren't at that time. Well, you better get them insured. We could do something. What is that? I thought they don't have insurance on Indian reservation. So what I do, I have to go to Rapid City to get insurance for my vehicle. And then when they broke my windows again, this time I said, my car is insured. And I said, if you guys fail to do something, the state will... issue something against you, against this police department for not doing their job. And yet when my wife tried to get protection order for herself because she constantly told her kids to stop drinking, grow up, move on, the judge denied it. The first one he denied was on the housing director. he said that my wife was not in a relationship with him. What is that? Does that judge know what he's doing? Another one, and then next the clerk, and then the prosecutor said, oh, the judge said it's out of his hands. It's in the hands of the Oglala Lakota Housing Authority. I didn't even have an attorney there. They told my wife she didn't even have to be present at that hearing. What kind of justice is that? What kind of checks and balances is that? Another thing that one of Rachel brought out was, oh, yeah, oh, when did they first bring the policy? I said, well, my wife signed the lease in 1999. That's almost over 20 years. I said, and when did that policy of the drug meth come out? I said, 2015. So was all houses checked for meth before when they initiated that ordinance? No.
Nope.
And so then, okay, so they issued a policy in 2015. And okay, in 2021, they said they had a gun call. So that's what they tested for meth. I said, there was a gun call, yeah. I said, the vice president's son shot my house up with trying to shoot one of my sons and my grandson. To this day, you can see the bullet holes in the side of the cement there. My house has been shot, I don't know how many times, but I still stay there. Back in 2016, I wrote to the Office of Justice. My two sons were shot in the head, but he survived it. He pulled the bullet out. It didn't even go and penetrate his skull. My other son was shot in the neck. These drug users or whatever, they chased the girl by our yard. She sought protection for my son. My sons are getting ready to go fishing. And yet they took on this task to protect the neighborhood. They pointed the gun. The guys are shooting guns. They're pointing it away from the neighborhood to the empty golf course. My son even had a premonition that his dead cousin told him to get up when he was on the ground, when he got shot in the back of the head. When it was all over, those guns were all busted up on the highway, a 40 caliber, a MAC-10, and a AR-15. Those guys jumped in a car and they ran out of town, and my son that was shot in the neck, him and his brother-in-law chased them, but they lost them out there by the Bradford, a senator, a constituent to the state, governor or senator or something for District 27. Then they caught those boys and they let them go because the court system out here had no prosecutor. I had another son that was shot in 1999. Seeing the family, seeing a spirit leave the operating the table there, and then come back because they couldn't do nothing. He had a collapsed lung. But it was through prayer that he came back. They had the bullets of the people that did that, but they didn't no arrest or nothing. And then 2016 or 17, he got shot again. This time in the throat and then in the mouth. He survived that. I think that kid is doing time now, though. So it seems like You know, this public safety's always had it out for our family ever since I made that report to the Office of Justice. They have victim support. They never did that for us. My nephew, Lucian Janice, got killed in 2003. They never helped us. But there's some kind of victim support or something. Charles, he has that PTSD that these veterans get. He never served in service, but he's always looking over his shoulder, always scared. When he mixes the drugs they give him to try to help him, he doesn't help himself. He pushed the officer down one time at his girlfriend's house in Porcupine, so they gave him 1 year for that. He never got no help from the victim services. Even Mary Cedarface, a neighbor down the road, he tried to buy a brand new pickup in Shatter, Nebraska, called GMC. And so there's five guys there, they said, prairie niggers can't own brand new pickups. So her son went and told me. He wrote that to me on a message. So I posted it on the GMC. That somehow the next day that GMC guy called me. He said, my boys wouldn't say that. None of them said that. None of my workers would say that. In fact, he said, I sold a bunch of brand new pickups to the Oglala Lakota Housing Authority. I'm good to Indians, he said. Mary Cedarface, she went into dementia and she landed in her old age home and she had COVID and passed away. Her son, I don't know, maybe depressed or whatever, partied and took fentanyl and probably meth. They tested for his house and it was drug positive, so he got evicted. So he tried to run for office to try to go at housing or what. I don't know what he was trying to do, but he didn't make it during when Kevin Killer made office that year. He didn't get enough votes to even go into the runoff. So him and his friend, they went and took fentanyl overdose. Those cedar faces are my grandfather's brother. My grandfather had four brothers. One was Cedar Face, and one was Ketches, and my grandfather's name was Wahanchunk Ayapi, or I Am a Shield. And his other brother was Hioka, and for Whistle, Yuzopa. Those are his brothers. So my grandmother's traded some of her land that she had in Canada and Standing Rock, and she traded to the settle in Manderson. Well, Wahanchunk Ayapi settled in Manderson. My mother did the same thing. She's from Porcupine District. My father's from Manderson, a Wounded Knee District. But they both worked here in Pine Ridge.
Can I just step in for a minute? I wanted to say this is a crisis situation. So let's try to talk about the current, the present, instead of focusing on the past, because
That's where I'm coming to now.
Okay, what I wanted to say is while you're talking, I'm doing research on National Indian Law Library to find a pro bono legal help for your situation. There are three types of Indian law legal assistance. There's lawyers and law firms. There's consumer's guide to legal help. There's legal directories. I wanted to find out if any of you know of anyone that has any access to computers, because I'm finding all these resources and I don't know exactly who to send them to, because no one seems to know how to use the computer or know how to do any of these things. And this is a sad situation, because years ago, it took me three computers to learn how to use a computer. I taught myself. I had a friend, and she was Native Indian from Canada. And she helped me to learn more as I went on. We're living at a time in this country which has always been dysfunctional because there's always been so much history of oppression, of racism, of biases, of opposition, that we have to be our own fighters. And we're not going to fight if we focus on the past all the time, which even our own people, the brown, beige, black, brown, beige, and red, all of us, are focusing too much on the past instead of focusing on the future. And unfortunately, we have to learn something about computers. We have to, because that's the only way we can research to get the resources that we need. If we cannot do it, we need to find somebody that knows how to go on the internet and do the research. So when someone is sending them all these resources to help in crisis situations that we are all in right now, especially the elderly Native Indians, someone has to be able to do the research to find the help. You can't call one place and feel like everybody's turning their back when there are so many resources out there. The tribal law lawyer, the Native American attorney profiles, the Cornell Legal Information Institute. We have to contact these. They have, every state has California Indian Legal Services. And this is where you need a lawyer right now to help prevent the evictions that are about to take place. A lawyer can make them if they have to go to the courthouse right away and get an emergency stay so that they cannot evict any of you this day or tomorrow or next week. They have to give you time.
You know, I have a lawyer advocate, and that's what she's working on right now.
Okay, is she working to be able to?
In the past, a lot of the are really scared of housing. I don't know what, maybe because they live in houses, they're housing or something. But a lot of elders, they told my wife she didn't even have to be present at the hearing.
No, they don't. Not to.
It's a good thing we did vote. So there's a record of what I have to say to them. That I said that with all these exhibits, without legal support, to contest these exhibits that you have against my house, it's no wonder. Similar, elders have this, no wonder they just quit. They just go into depression. A lot of them just passed away, died. And when there's no burden of proof, they're found hot on the bed, on the house, they are reading, and yet there's not even no quality control or quality of the testing. They didn't test my family. And then the other point I brought up was that there was other people that lived in my house before I did. So there was no burden of proof there. So, okay, they were willing to work with us. You signed a restraining or protection order on your kid, and we'll put you back in your house. We'll put you on probation, like a six-month probation. In here, you know, he said he had to make that decision in 7 days. Well, we put in a protection order, and the judge said October 17th. That's 10 days afterwards. But they already made a decision to evict us. And when the first time they did that protection order on my wife, she was pleading for help. Can you help me with my children, my grown children? I keep telling them, I said, if they're drunk and they're fighting each other, or who knows if they were on drugs, you're going to get killed, woman. And yet, under the NARC ruling, the judge or the prosecutor was supposed to help my wife file some type of a protection order. And yet they didn't even do that. They denied her protection order because she has to attend a hospital appointment in Rapid City. Her kidneys are a category 4. Category 5 is when they have to go through dialysis. You want her to miss that? That kind of a test for your ignorance or she's never had due diligence or due process of law. What does she have to do? Show her ID to say that she's an elder? You know, a lot of our elders can't talk. They talk Lakota. Do they have translators there? I talked to a Lorraine Whiteface, and that's what she said. They don't even listen to us. And yet they already had our house boarded up. I seen on the Native Energy, Renewable Energy. Oh, we got 15 houses boarded up, and we're getting 15 more houses boarded up. These houses have been here for a long time. My father wired these houses, some of these houses. My mother went and traded some of her land to put a house there. And that time they didn't have HUD grants for homes or homes. Yet. They had FMHA homes. That's how my father built the house. He wired the whole crazy horse. There was an agreement in 1968. My mother said she showed me down finally pages on that loan thing. It had $332,000 on there. Paper she was showing me. She said, "Son, that the house will be yours." And so when I graduated in 12th grade, that house is gone. I don't know what they did with it. And somebody else is moving on that land. My mother changed land for. And then nothing. The Lakota Land Alliance asked for an audit from this tribe. They never gave it. They never wanted to. Now all the Lakota Land Alliance people are gone. And we're still running into the same problems with our Lakota allotment. There's another thing that our attorney brought up was that under this new ordinance of the meth ordinance that the housing developed, supposedly and approved by the Oglala Council and written off by the Oglala Tribal President, there was supposed to be a board of tenants that helped us protection orders in, but they didn't. Nobody helped any elders. They don't even have that board. It's some kind of a tenant board.
Okay, Chinupa.
Yes.
Chinupa. What I'd like to have you do, if possible, is they have universities in South Dakota. They have students that do projects in all the universities around the country. I'd like to give you a telephone number and have you contact one of the South Dakota State University and speak to someone there to find out if there's any student advocates that do help with projects involving the Native Indian tribes, if you can. I'm going to do some research, give you some phone numbers, and I'd like to have you contact these universities to find out what the Native Indian students are doing for projects that the school may be assigning to them. Now, the South Dakota State University telephone number, and you can listen to your show over again, and you can get the numbers from the show, but it's 605-688-4121. And that, again, that's one of the schools, the universities out there. They also have the Indian Law Resource Center. And I'm going to give you the telephone number on that one. Now, this one is out of Washington, but it's 202-547-2800. There is also one Indian Law Resource Center in Montana, and the number is 406-449-2006. I want you to contact these people. Let them know what is going on your reservation. Let them know what you want them to help you with. And if they can't help you, they can give you resources of places and people you can go to get that help. We want to be able to access some of these and try to get as much resources out to the Native Indian tribes so that you can have at least have housing or something for the elderly. If you can get me someone that I can actually talk to that knows about research and computers, I can help out a lot in getting the resources to them, and they can get it to you. We can let you know who to contact and what resources are out there for you. I want the audience, anyone listening in the audience, if you know of anyone that can help in these situations to help these people, please let them know. Janupa, you always give your phone number out. If you can give the audience your contact information so that they can contact you if they come up with any resources or know of any projects out there to help the Native Indians. Okay, is Chinupa still on? Okay, I'm going to give some more information. Unfortunately, it's as though I'm talking in the air, but I want everybody to be able to help in any way they can with the Sioux Indians and other tribes in this country. There are law firms, South Dakota Indians and Native populations. There are law firms out there that they mentioned in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I can give the numbers. I don't know. You'd have to contact some of them to find out if they do pro bono. For those that don't, you might want to ask the people that you contact about that. According to Chinupa, this is a crisis situation, and this is why I'm putting this thing on for you. But I need to know if any of these resources are interesting to you. Apparently, Chinupa is on. Okay, he must have dropped and came back on again. Chinupa, are you on with us?
Yeah, I'm on with you. I am going to share something with you, and then I'm going to get off the phone. Louis, you still with us?
Yeah. You faded out.
He's on, Chinupa.
I tried to get a hold of Maxine to get Tiny DeCori on to step up and help you guys on this area, but I'm listening. I know what the system does, okay? And I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to bail because I listened to my sister express what she felt, okay? And I get it. But here's the catch. All of them resources that are out there that are on the Internet, they don't exist. They don't work. I don't care if we send them emails. We can say whatever, okay? I'm computer literate, and I love it. I want to stay this way because I exercise my brain by reading books to keep it healthy. But a lot of you are all intellectual with the communications that you're educated for. And when criteria like this are forcing us into a dilemma to become homeless or jobless or whatever the criteria or scenario is, we allow these machines to dictate human responsibility. Okay, and that's the truth. Okay, you don't want to hear it? It's the truth. My sister was reading off all these phone numbers in South Dakota and on Washington, D.C. about crisis centers. People that are supposed to reach out for human rights. They don't work. People, I try them all the time. I call them. Every time she dishes out a number, I program it on my other phone and call it. All it does is goes to a voice recording. This is the problem.
No,
censorship.
Sinupa, let me say something.
Okay, I'm gonna get going, Leona.
This is very important. I really need to get this out to you. You know, I understand. See, this is what I'm saying. People do not want to listen. What I was going to say is, I know that these numbers, a lot of them, the people will not respond. I know that they will turn them down or turn you down in helping you. We have this in Massachusetts. We have this all over the country. We have people that are just out there for the money. We have people in cliques that will help one another but won't help those really in need. I go through it all the time. But what Chinupa does not realize is that even though these people are saying, no, we cannot stop there. We have to keep researching. We have to keep going until we find someone that will help. I have a loved one that I've been trying to get help for the last almost 26 years. And unfortunately, I've gone through the same thing Chinupa is talking about. Chinupa doesn't have to tell me about it because I lived it. Those of you that are still on with me right now are the ones that are suffering because you're the ones that are being evicted. And if we just give up because Chinupa tried and he hasn't been able to get anybody to help, then where does that leave you? It leaves you just where he was talking about. It leaves you out in the street in the snow in South Dakota. And I feel bad. I feel bad that you have to go through this. But again, we have to keep trying. We can't give up. I've contacted over thousands of people in the last 26 years. Thousands of people, resources, lawyers, activists, legal services, all these people, they're about nothing, but we can't stop with them. We have to keep going. We have to keep fighting. We have people that we love that we're trying to save, that we're trying to keep from being out in the cold and freezing to death, or trying to be abused to the point where they commit suicide. And a lot of times that's exactly what's happening, and I can't deal with it. People understand, or they don't understand, why I'm so frustrated, why I get so upset. I get upset because I have busted my tail for the last 20-something years advocating for everyone else's children and those incarcerated while others deprive my own loved ones because they're either envious of me, they're jealous of me, or because they don't like to hear the truth about themselves. But we have to keep going. We cannot give up. And one of the things Chinupa doesn't realize, Chinupa is an activist to help people. But he doesn't have somebody right now that he's fighting for of his own that he's trying to save. So he can get tired of hearing about these telephone numbers and tired of it. And he can be glad that he doesn't know how to use a computer or doesn't know how to be resourceful. He can be thankful. He should be thankful that he's being blessed, that he doesn't have to worry about a loved one that's actually going through it. So Chinupa, if you have something you want to say, say it. But remember, the people that you're talking about right now are the people that are actually living this crisis situation. So we have a caller, 1440. And that's another thing, when people call in and they don't talk.
Okay.
Or when people
okay,
want to
I'm
be in the
I'm going to step up and talk. I think you're wrong Please. What you just said there. He has a love for all his people on the reservation. This man included that's on the phone. Or he wouldn't be on this radio station. He wouldn't be reaching out to me. He wouldn't be reaching out to other people.
That's what I just said if you were listening. And this is the problem. People don't listen. I just said Chinupa Guhamani is an activist. He will help people. He tries so hard to help people. What I am saying is Chinupa does not have a loved one right now that's actually going through it. So when we go through all these calls that we're talking about making and we don't get anywhere, we can't just give up, as Chinupa's saying. He's tried everything and nothing works. So he doesn't want to deal with it. But he doesn't realize we have to continue the fight because we have loved ones that are suffering right now. If we give up because Chinupa says, I've tried everything, well, Chinupa doesn't realize I've tried everything for 20-something years, and it doesn't go that way. If we had more activists like Chinupa, maybe we'd get somewhere. But we have activists and advocates right here in Massachusetts and around the country who talk, who fight for their loved one, for their own loved ones or their friends' loved ones, but they don't fight for someone else's loved one. I, like Chinupa Gluhamani, have been out there fighting for all these individuals incarcerated that are going through so much. I've been there for their families. And yet these activists and these advocates that have all this money they're getting for their organizations are helping themselves, helping their loved ones, helping their friends. But the ones they don't help are the ones that don't have something to offer them. They work with prisoners that they know are connected to the outside world or that they know are connected with legislative members. They will help them because it's going to make them look good. I have an organization. I have never asked for funding, and I founded it in 2004. Everything I've done has been out of my own pocket because of these assholes in Massachusetts and around the country that want to look big and bad and collect money for doing nothing or for helping their own. So Chinupa doesn't know when he's talking. He does not know what he's talking about at some cases because he doesn't have somebody inside. He doesn't have somebody that's hurting, that's being evicted. He's fighting for these people, but he's not realizing that he cannot give up. When we get phone calls, when we get numbers to give, when we get resources to share, I share everything so everybody can start looking into these things and seeing what they can do to get resources. There's got to be someone out there that has a heart that's going to try to do something to help the Native Indians or to try to help those incarcerated that are going through so much mental, physical, and spiritual damage. We get burnt out sometimes. I got burnt out in 2014. I let three of my paralegals take over my organization to run it, and I stepped down. What did they do? After all the years that I built the organization up, they registered it out in California under a different tax exempt. They terminated my organization. When I contacted the Secretary of State, the Corporation Division, they helped me to get my organization up again, but it started with the IRS from 2014, not 2004. Those people that took over my organization have it down that they started it in 2004 when they didn't come on board to volunteer in my organization until 2011 or 12. I have all the original documentation, but they still have it on the website. You think I can get a lawyer to even help with that? So if Chinupa thinks he knows all these things, he's got another thing coming because I have been living this, not only affecting my loved one, affecting me, affecting a lot of people I'm trying to help because of people out there that don't want to help. They have all this money and all these organizations and all these cliques they're in. I'm going to continue to do the research. I don't know if Chinupa, like I asked him, if he knows of somebody that is computer illiterate that will be able to take these resources I send him and contact these people to see if they will help.
Well, most of the time when you contact lawyers and research for this for pro bono, the minute they hear that this is a Native individual, they don't want to get involved because of tribal politics and all this. We've been there. He knows what he's talking about. When you say help an individual out on the reservation with this government, with this tribal government, with the judicial system, oh, we don't want to get involved in that. We've been there. We know.
Dude,
we're not
are
the
there
individual out here in the white man's world who has access to all this stuff. Because when you reach out to them, he's right. They shut the door or they don't help. Or when they hear it's for an individual on the reservation, they don't want to help.
Okay, what is your first name?
Pro bono.
What is your first name? What is your first name?
Rachel.
Oh, Rachel, it's you. Okay, Rachel, let me tell you.
I had to fight for my goddamn self. I had to fight for my goddamn self.
Let me tell you, though, I told Chinupa about this, and I sent all these links to Jabril, and no one's heard from Jabril. But I went on Facebook, and I typed up Indian tribes. Do you know I came across so many different Native Indians, and I was sending in so that Chinupa could connect, all of you could connect. And I don't know whatever happened to it. I sent them all these links on Facebook to all these different Indian tribes, these groups on Facebook, from Cherokee, Blackfoot, Sioux. I mean, all these. And that's what Chinupa told me one time. He wanted to bring all the races of black, brown, red, and beige together. That's what we need to do is come together. But what happens? Nobody did anything with the resources that I sent. All these tribes, I couldn't join these tribes because they want to connect with Native Indians, okay? If all of the Native Indians connected and started doing the radio shows, started doing the advocacy, started to do the research, that's when we're going to see progress. I invited Dr. Mustafa Ansari on the radio show once with Chinupa Guhamani because Chinupa was saying he wanted to connect with all these different races. Dr. Mustafa was glad to come on because that's what he's trying to do. But as soon as he came on, he said something, and Chinupa said, I respectfully disagree with my brother. As soon as Chinupa said that, Dr. Mustafa Ansari hung up. Now, they were both guests on the show, and I went off on Dr. Mustafa Ansari because you don't hang up, you don't drop off a radio show when you're one of the guests. So that goes to show you, we say we want to connect, but yet our pride gets in the way, or our power, or fame, or whatever. We're going to have arguments when we come together as different races. We're going to have arguments, but if we're going, just like siblings having a home, but if we're going to work together to stop all this injustice, to fight the system that is keeping us down, keeping our loved ones down, to fight these lawyers who do nothing but talk, these law firms, that these organizations getting all the funding and doing nothing, if we're going to fight them, we need to come together. We're going to have differences. We're going to have differences. And then we're going to work them out if we stay in there and we don't just drop or turn our backs when somebody said something we don't like. I have enemies, and I have people that highly respect me, and I don't care what people say. I tell it all the time. I'm going to say things. I'm not going to please everyone, but I'm open to suggestions. I'm open to listening to everybody, but I don't care if I get criticized, because this is all part of learning. This is where the wisdom comes in, and that's all I'm saying. We have to keep fighting. We have to keep doing the research. No matter what, we're going to find somebody like ourselves that is trying to do something good. Eventually, sooner or later, if we're all working together, we're going to find somebody that's going to say, these people are not going to be evicted. These elderly Native Indians are not going to be evicted. Somebody that's going to go to court and say, these are elderly people, they need more time. We need to fight.
Ma'am, let me say one thing.
When Rocky Bagby was running that independent,
I can't hear him. Can you hear him?
Here's the thing. You go to these people have been to court and they've been laughed at. They brought up validated points. I read the court paperwork documents Louis had on September 30th. That judge did not do his job. He should have shut that shit show down because Louie made validated points about that house and what the reasoning for fucking evicting him. He shut him down. It stated right in there that his wife was working to do what the housing authority has said. The court said about getting restraining orders to get your own child. They laughed at him, and that judge did not shut it down because the burden of proof could have been more on the housing authority to back up their claims just for this eviction. And even Louie made a validated point. We read it. I researched it this morning. What Louie said backed up with the HUD housing drug policies. That judge did not shut it down.
We have corrupt judges in this country. There's no doubt about
okay.
it. We have corrupt judges. We have corrupt lawyers. We're living in this country. We're living in a country that took from the Indians. We're living in a country that's full of racism. We're living in a country that every time they go to war in another country, they're going just to bring back their gold, their diamonds, their wealth. That's all it's about, because no other country could touch the United States of America at one time. So why did we have to go into these countries, make enemies, and bring – this country was built.
Well, we're getting away from the point here. We're getting away from the point. I just explained to you what happened here. They overlooked validated points. They overlooked their own policies. They overlooked their own laws and still pushing for this eviction. I just got off the phone and left a message with the judge. Well, you better reconsider, because I read through that paperwork. And everything that was said in there about the HUD housing, even Louie himself validated that it could have been an occupant, but before them that put the meth in the house. And even a house testing positive doesn't mean they have to evict them. I already researched it this morning. I called the judge. He won't answer his goddamn phone. I left a message. Louie and his wife are doing the right thing. Louie made validated points in the goddamn court. They snickered at him and laughed at him and are still trying to kick him out of his goddamn house.
They have to.
Well,
they
got you from there. You're in the tribal court system. Everything's being done. People are calling. Louie and Maxine have complied and jumped through loopholes to do what they said keeps them from being evicted. Is it stopping it? No.
Now, would a good lawyer be able to go over the judge's head and request a new judge?
No, because all the judges on the reservation are in the pockets with each other. Louie and his wife. I read the documentation. That's why I called that judge this morning. They did everything by the policies. Louie even stated that the house could have been contaminated with meth with the occupants before them. It's the burden of the proof of the housing authority to prove that they've got standing to keep this eviction up. And when this judge heard this on September 30th and knew that Maxine was making efforts to follow through with these restraining orders, Louie made validated points. They didn't want to hear it, and they still granted it. So who the fuck do they go to?
Rachel, tell me, can you tell the audience a little bit about how that works? The reservation, because there's a lot of things about the reservation, things that go on that I'm not familiar with. Now, you mentioned the judges on the reservation.
Yeah, they're using judges that are outside that's not even in the quota. Just like Chinook told me this morning, there's one judge is from Oklahoma, from another Native tribe.
But
they're
the
not
judges,
following.
The judges that you have, say in South Dakota, the judges that you have, are they not, they're usually from South Dakota, right?
You think they would be given preference to people of Lakota that understands more of the Lakota understanding and will work
now,
with their people.
Do they have a certain amount of judges on the reservation? A certain amount?
You have to ask Louie or Chinook that.
Okay, and I was wondering if they have the same judges all the time, if that's what the case is, because it shouldn't be if that's the case. And how many judges would that
like
be?
Like I said, this man is right now, he said on your show today, he's moving out. But everything that I read from all the documentation she sent me of that court hearing on September 30th, that judge should have shut that down and said, no, we're not honoring this eviction. Louie himself stood right there in that courtroom and gave him a very validated reasoning that it could have been the occupant before them that contaminated that house. The judge himself had to see that Maxine was complying and working with the housing authority and the judicial system about putting restraining orders from their kids because of this issue. Still would not work with them, and just now they're having to move out. Who's above the judge? Who do they go to?
Now, do they have, like, the National Tribal Council, or whatever it's called?
Tribal Council ain't going to do shit. They're in all in each other's pockets.
The National?
The National, they're all together. They're all Sioux Indians.
So, this is a problem. This is a problem with not only with the Native Indians, but we have unbelievable. We have legislative members in this country in Congress. They're making all these decisions. They're making decisions for women's productive.
I don't even want to go into this. I'm going to tell you something about the goddamn Congress. And nobody's bringing this up. And you got the states fighting versus. But you go to the equal foot fucking doctrine. It's right there in the Constitution that states do not have the right over the citizens. The federal do. That's why Roe versus Wade was allowed for 50 years to continue abortions. Even when the states fought it, it fell under the equal doctrine clause of the rights of the people who they remained under. I still yet have not heard this come out. But that goddamn government, that Congress and the Supreme Courts know that. And you know what? You're facing the same political, judicial, law enforcement shit on the reservations they have applied from that white man society as they ramshot everybody. Flip their nose at you. Fuck you. You do what we say.
You know, this is a problem in this country because even with every state, the problems you're talking about exist all over the country, you know, with a lot of us. But the problem is every state operates differently, which is so stupid because if the problems are the same nationwide, it should be controlled nationwide. They should have the same policies. They leave it up to the governors.
Leona, they are. The states are given a section of their own sovereignty of what they deal with. They have certain leeway to make their own legislative laws in their states, but there's a lot of things that still fall under the federal. But I don't even give a fuck about that white government. They're allowing what's to happen. The courts are allowing the states to take over. I don't even want to talk about this white government. I read it. I know what they're doing. They're going against their own goddamn writings. This is why you can't get your son out of jail. This is why we can't get Louis to be stopped being evicted. Because these fucking people take advantage of their own system against the lower ones and just ramshot.
There definitely is inequality. There definitely is. I mean, it's who you know, it's how much you have, it's everything. But the thing is, again, we cannot just give up on our loved ones. We have to keep fighting, and that's where the resources we have to keep. There's people out there like us. There's people out there that are influential that have just as much. They're fed up as well. But the problem is,
It takes outside people to go up here right now and call these people out. We know what you're doing. We read your paperwork. You screwed up, darling Long. You should have shut that shit show down. When Louie came up and said it could have been previous occupants, because I read the tribal HUD housing joint policy. When Louie himself stood there instead, even though they had a top positive test on that house, and Louie stood up and said it could have came from an occupant, that's not grounds for eviction. It's a burning of the proof of the housing to prove they put the methane in the house. But they did it because it's their discretion whether they run tests individually or on items, clothing, drug testing for it. They didn't do it, but they want to go to the court system and get the courts to back them up on half-ass rulings. I caught it the other day. The housing authority did not submit all burden of proof to back that judge to ask to back them up to evict them. So here we are. We're up in the tribal judge. Why didn't you take my fucking phone call? I got his message machine. I let him know what I read in that court paperwork. What else can you do? Louie and Maxine have already done what you asked them to. Louie himself. He made a validated point about the house. That's when that judge should have said, okay, this is what I'm going to do. It's up to the burden of the proof of the housing to prove who put the mess. If you can't prove who to put the mess, I'm shutting this shit show eviction down on them right now. And he didn't do it. That's the white man's shit that tribe is going by, and they don't even follow it.
You know, it's strange when we struggle to try to get justice and we don't. We get frustrated, we get angry, and then when we start letting people know how angry we are, we're looked at as the angry one. But yet, when people are out there doing all this damage to the country and causing all kinds of chaos with
the people, they don't reiterate. This couple not being caught right now. Even discussing their eviction over a methamphetamine use, where is the responsibility of the tribe that has allowed that methamphetamine to get the fuck out of hand on that reservation? This man and his wife would not be fucking moving out of their house right now. Who's going to hold them accountable for that reservation and the circumstance it is right now that this elderly couple's getting the fuck? Where's their burden of responsibility here? It's always the people that the shit gets taken out on. Louie and Maxine. On every goddamn reservation that gets the shit put on them. But that damn goddamn tribe allowed those drugs in there. But they get all this funding money. Oh, we need more police. We need more drug policy. We need all this. But where is it at? Where do you see it? Where do you see it? But still yet today, Louie and Maxine are going to be goddamn kicked out of their house because part of the problem is the failure of the tribes and not getting on the goddamn drug problems but taking money. Oh, to stop it. Where's all that goddamn money to be getting the drugs out of there? And it's these two people that are facing the goddamn repercussions of that when they don't need to be.
Do they have a council on aging or a senior center or anything in the Pine Ridge?
They have federal and tribal, but nobody does a goddamn thing.
Gray Eagle Society, but most of them are passed away.
But do they have anything like a shelter where you can stay until something can be worked out, until you can find something?
Nothing.
No, but they get all this money from the government, but they can't. They're the ones kicking them out of the houses, but they can't help them.
They had some homeless tents that were set up at the Powell grounds, but the cost was $336,000. And council members said they didn't have enough money to get that up.
Louie, did you just say tents?
Huh?
Louie, did you just say tents?
Yeah,
that's what he said.
Okay. Now listen to this, Leon. I'm going to say something to you. Did you hear what he just said? They had tents set up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What the fuck is that shit?
But, you know, they have
tents
set up.
Think about it. Where did these people originally come from? They came out of teepees, but the government said they couldn't live in it. But now here the old goddamn government is expecting them to live in tents? Are you getting it?
Like I say, in this country, it's a power struggle. Power.
They told the Native people, you couldn't live in your teepees. But now their government, listen to what Louie said. Emergency shelter tents. Oh, you put them right back where they were.
When they're old.
Shit. That's what they get. A tent. Wow.
You know what? I know this sounds crazy, but one thing that I could suggest is that somebody start a GoFundMe page, whether it be on Facebook or whatever. Somebody should start a GoFundMe page and we can circulate it all over Facebook, social media, and see if people can donate so that they have something to go on.
Well, don't give the idea because some of these people listening right now may do that, and these people will never see a goddamn dime of it.
No,
somebody else will start a GoFundMe page, and they won't get it. I've seen that happen. I even called some people out in South Dakota. They were starting GoFundMe pages when they was having those floods up there, and they weren't even turning the goddamn money over.
Oh, it's like those other countries,
South
Puerto
Dakota.
Rico. It's like Puerto Rico and Haiti and all these people collecting all this money. A lot of those things, those people in those countries are still at the lowest because they never got all that money that was being collected by people that, even celebrities. I don't know what was going on with all that.
I'm pissed right now. I'm so fucking pissed. Louie did right. Louie was right when he stood in that court and said about the house. They followed with the, who the fuck was to put a restraining order against your own child for drug abuse that the goddamn tribe did like get out of control? But that's what they're doing to comply so they get to stay in their house. Being told by that damn tribal government, put these restraining orders against your own kids.
Mm-mm.
Just so they can stay in that house.
Mm-mm.
Now, you want to understand this? Canute and everybody's been trying to tell you people out here. You're not getting it. Oh, go to these resources. I've been to resources. I've called lawyers. The minute they hear that it's help for the people on the reservation, they fucking take a shit and run. We can't help. We don't get involved in that.
How old is the kid that they wanted them to file a restraining order on?
You'll have to ask Louie that.
Louie?
What's that?
How old was your...
Okay, the age is around 34 to 40.
Oh, okay. So it would have been difficult finding a place for them too.
But see, this is awful that these kids got hooked on the drugs that this tribe allowed in. That's putting these two.
White Clay was a main instigator. Now it's bootleggers.
Yeah. Now it just went from one thing to the other.
And let me tell you what happened. I started a petition on change.org to replace prisons with long-term residential treatment facilities for substance abuses and also for mental health issues. And I'll tell you, this is the problem we have. In this country, we have 2.3 million people incarcerated in jails and prisons. And you would think out of 2.3 million that their families and friends and advocates would be signing that petition right away to get them in programs instead of in prison. But out of all of them, and this is going on a year and a half now, then almost 700 signatures is all that I got, almost 700 signatures. So we have a problem not only with the white man, we have a problem with a lot of families out there that are complaining about the penal system, abuses and deprivations, provocations, harassments, medical, psychological, spiritual neglect. They complain, but they're too weak themselves to sign. So what happens when we don't come together in as a unity and solidarity to get these changes, we are just as weak as can be, and those out there in power are going to take more advantage of us and our loved ones. And that's
well,
what happens.
Drugs in this country has become economics.
It is.
Prisons are part of the economic system. Okay?
Many
it's
bringing the drugs in.
To get the goddamn drugs under control. But they want to make, it makes money for them. It creates jobs. Jobs that don't help. Send these people to prison for rehabilitation because they do drugs. What do? They get back on the streets. They can't get jobs. They go right back into the system.
Rachel, if people go on the internet and they type in drugs being smuggled into the prisons by guards, they're going to see where the drugs are coming from. They're infesting the prisons with drugs. And I've read people on Facebook say they're glad their loved ones in prison because they can't continue to do the drugs. They are so naive. They're so ignorant
that this is
what keeps the prisons for profit. These corporations, I can't believe that there's so many people out there that are so naive. So they don't try to get involved.
The system's got to die. The system is the problem. The system is allowing the drugs because they're making their money, but they sit up there and talk their shit.
That creates
jobs. It creates money. When is people going to get it? It's going to have to get back. Everybody's going to have to try to take care of you, your own. That government's not going to help you through the prisons. The goddamn drug crisis is not going to help you. They just barely deal with these people. And then they collect their paycheck.
I'll tell you, they're keeping the prisons full. But that's what this country's about. That's what look at, we're in...
It's killing everybody.
We're in an economic crisis right now. Where's all this money going over to overseas, right? Jeez.
It's a thing. We can sit here and talk this shit. There's all these programs out here. I've been to them. When they hear that you need help to get people like Louie and Maxine, people on the reservation, oh, we can't get involved in that. So now it's not shitting you. Then you try to get a hold of these people. You either get the phone call, you get a message, or you get told, oh, we don't get involved with regular people. We only deal with tribes. We've been there. We know.
But again, I hate to say it, but we have to keep doing the research. We have to keep doing something because we're not going to help our people. We're not going to help those that are struggling, those that are being evicted, those that are in prison. We're not going to help them if we just sit there and say these people are effing assholes or whatever the case may be. We have to.
Hey, when you're making calls and you're calling them out, when you research the shit and you call them out, hopefully when they know outside people are getting a hold of what these people in the reservation are doing to Maxine and them, and they have researched it. You, Your Honor, you didn't shut the shit show down the other day. You should have shut it down when Louie sat right there and told you that the other occupants could have got the meth in the house. And more burden of proof would have been on the Tribal Housing Authority. They could have made come out of their discretionary policy and said, okay, we're going to take all your tests. And if Louie and Maxine tested negative for amphetamine in use, then the shit show's done. But if the Tribal Housing Authority refused to do that, then the judge still had the discretion to throw it out. But he let the Housing Authority walk into his goddamn court and run ramshod. And he was going to back them.
Mm-mm. Even on Chinook's
telling
the,
you what the fuck is going on. He's not lying. I caught it. I don't even live in
the
position. I caught it through Louie's paperwork.
On the first protection order, they told my wife that she was not in the relationship with the housing director. So that was the grounds for throwing out that protection order.
Mm-hmm.
You mean
this was a domestic case, and she was not in a relationship with that director. And that's how the judge threw that out, that first protection order. But when you go to the NARF, when you go to the NARF website, it's under elderly abuse. The court system was supposed to help her, but they didn't.
They don't. NARF is part of the white man system. NARF says they're there to help the people, but they're not. They're there to get funding, put all this shit on the internet, and at the end of the day, they still don't help.
Mm-mm.
I know. I went through NARF. I've tried to get NARF to help. Well, what the fuck are you there for? Chanel's right when he's telling you what the hell's going on. You don't think for years they've been reaching out for attorneys to get help with this?
Rachel, take over. I got a call. Rachel, take over. I got a call.
Okay. Louie, are you there, hon?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I did. I researched that policy this morning. When you
and
did
you
bring
talking
up the
about,
fact.
Remember, you was talking about how the drugs are infiltrated and then even dramatize it or make a hero out of white people in a movie called American Made. And the lead actor is Tom Cruise.
Everybody's living in a fucking fantasy world of guns, shooting, money, coconut. Everybody, even these freaking white people out here are in movie land. It's all glam and gory, and you get a few bucks. You get to buy a nice car and rub it in everybody's face. Oh, you can have this too. You get all with drugs.
That movie expressly shows how these planes come in and out of these cartel areas, and yet the DEA or CIA or whoever ain't catching on.
Oh, everybody knows what's going on. Everybody's in this shit. They're trying to chase you all out of your houses to move off the reservation. Because you know why? The drugs got so out of hand, they about contaminated every fucking HUD housing on there. And that could cost them $5 million. They're not ready to disperse.
You know, that one of the requirements, too, of this elderly home over there that on the other side of White Clay, you have to be living on a reservation for 6 months. And so if these elders are chased off the reservation and they want to come home, they can't.
I know.
I have an aunt who's living in Cleveland, Ohio.
That's what they want
to come home and die. She wants to come home and die. She wants to come home and die. But she wanted to stay at a place where they can watch over her. The requirement of this elderly home on the White Clay was that they have to live on a reservation for 6 months.
Well,
my aunt
like
worked
I said,
her
when
whole
I read
life.
Your paperwork, when I read your paperwork, I saw what that judge did not do. And I saw the housing authority run ramshotting when that judge should have fucking went back on them and said, burn the proof. Did you test them?
Yeah.
Well, we don't have to. Well, why didn't you? I mean, I understand. I read the policy this morning. It's their discretion whether they run random testing on houses and the occupants. They don't have to, or they can. The tribe can institute that, but why don't they? Why is the tribe not instituting that anybody lives in a HUD housing randomly or mandatory take drug tests that could stop this problem from these houses getting infected, but they won't do it. But then they're going to run to the court system to evict everybody, but when they can prevent it themselves.
Yeah, then I asked Maxine to have a prosecutor and a judge talk with you, and they said they didn't. They were kind of mad, and they said, no, their laws are different than ours. I don't know what Indian Child Welfare Act, when they're trying to shut it down, is different than ours.
That's
another
Oklahoma.
Thing. That's happening in Oklahoma.
That ICWA.
You know, what kind of legal system do we have? I thought there's a checks and balance of executive, legislative, and judicial. And yet housing is a judicial. One council member brought a grievance to the housing, and with the housing, because it's a chartered program, initiated impeachment by some other council people. So they almost impeached that council member.
Well, the only thing is it's going to take who have researched this stuff. No, I didn't talk to that judge. He wouldn't call me back. I called him. I got his answering machine, but I did lay it out. The key points of what you and Maxine were complying with them. That judge had to realize that. You made a profound statement about the house. He should have shut it down right there then and there, and he did it. And that's what I got on the phone. I left the message, so I hope he gets it. You did a lot. You made it. You could have shut that down, but they just put their nose up at you. You, when you made that statement about that house, and Maxine was trying to work to do what they said was concerning restraining orders against your kids, they put their nose at it. It should have shut down right then and there.
And then they had statements on the internet where, oh, we got 15 houses boarded up, and we're going to get 15 more houses boarded up.
They want you off of there, Chinook. Right. They want everybody. They're forcing everybody to leave. There's no more housing on the reservation, so where does everybody go? They go off the reservation. I'm going to tell you what. That goddamn, all these goddamn tribes, like I said, one day, Louie, one day, they're going to get their eviction notice from that government. And you know what? All those tribal council people, they're in pocket. Then you're going to know what all the Maxines and Louis felt with out here. You guys did everything right. You did everything right in that hearing. They just ignored you guys.
I even visited with the vice president who got in by acclamation of the people, you know, and I talked about a moratorium on evictions from October to March.
Uh-huh.
And then, she's meeting someplace at contracts, but I was talking to her secretary, and her secretary was telling me that, well, Alicia did try to talk with the director of the housing, Ramon Bearrunner, and the council and the president did sign over everything to the housing to do this to tribal members.
Yep.
She said she couldn't do nothing.
Well, that's part
and
of the so, system.
And so Dora said, or the lay advocate said, who elected you, the housing? Or did the people elect you?
That's right. Chinoop is right. When I get all these outside people to come in and raise hell with these people. We see what you're doing there. That judge should have shut that down on September 3rd and not granted that eviction notice. It does take outside people. Chinook's right, trying to get everybody to call these fuckers out. And we know what you're doing. Chinook knows what he's doing, but again, it's going to take outside people to call this out and stop some of this shit. Louie, I did what I could. I called. I left a message on that guy's phone. He didn't want to talk to me in person. He didn't call me back.
Yeah, thank you, Rachel.
But I left a message.
Thank you.
And you know what? Like I said, I'll keep calling and leaving messages. I just hope he hears because he's better know. I told him, I read the hearing reports of what went down there. That eviction should be stopped right now. They complied. They worked with you. They made validated points. Now, if I had clearly where I could read the lab testing that came from that house, I could probably shut it down a little bit more, but I can't read what the lab values that came tested back on that house.
Yeah.
Because I could probably shut that fucking down, too, with the judge. I'm trying, Louie.
Yeah, because I used to work with EPA, and, you know, the, I was QA, QC was always our point when handling sensitive data like that. And I didn't see them or that when they was doing that testing. And they said it was a gun call. We didn't even have no gun calls or nothing. They just made that up.
Rachel, I'm back. I wanted to say Fridays and Saturdays are still open. And if you want to do this, you know, follow up on Friday or Saturday of next week or whatever, let me know because I can open the show for you and you can run it and talk about some of these issues that all of you are facing.
Well, I'm going to tell you the tools are there. The white man's tools is his own corrupt black and white, but they don't even follow him. Like I said, I don't even want to hear about this white man shit nowadays with their state versus federal power and who's got what. Because it was already ensured that the citizen of this country was under the Equal Foot Doctrine Clause of Protection. So everybody's out here arguing my rights, my rights. Your government already knows you got rights. They're fucking flipping their nose at you just like the tribal government is flipping their nose at Louie Maxine right now. The tools are in place. They don't apply because they're corrupt.
You know that saying, it's us, it's them against us, or it's us against them, and that's a true statement. We have a lot of our own people that are being manipulated and fooled by the majority.
Well, sure,
and
when they got jobs in all these entities, the housing authority, the tribal council, and they're getting their money, oh, fuck everybody else.
That's it.
They want everybody off that reservation. Chinook is right when he says that. Listen to what Louis just told you. They go off. He just told me.
I went for help
this woman
with
back on.
Dakota. I went for help with the Dakota Legal Plains back in 2021. And they said they couldn't help me because they didn't have the attorneys.
See that going on? And when you try to get somebody, they say, oh, yeah, we can help. You know, but I've been told many times I've called NARF and called individual attorneys that are in tribal law. The minute they hear that the help is, that you're asking for representation is for the people in the tribe, they take a shit.
You know,
they don't
want to
help the people.
There's a lawyer. He's a professor now, though. But his name is Jerry Spence. I don't know if that's an Indian name, but I know this man, he has, I think they said he lost one case in all of his years. And this man is anti-government. And he's out of somewhere out your way, I think. Let me just see what state he's in. Jerry Spence.
That may be one of those lawyers that was on that McGirt trial, I think.
He is Trial Lawyers College. I'll tell you, this man is well known. His name is Jerry Spence. And I'll
Gary.
Tell you,
G.
Yeah, G-E-R-R-Y. And he is anti, and I'll tell you, they said he never lost a case, or he may have lost one case in his entire life. And this man was born in 1929. He's a semi-retired.
And then he's losing his time, too. It says he's 93 years old.
Yeah. He's from Wyoming, Laramie, Wyoming.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with him?
Spence Law Firm, LLC.
The man is, I spoke with him one time years ago when I was doing national advocacy work, and there was a lot of abuses going on in Pennsylvania. Three prisoners, they alleged, committed suicide when we knew they didn't commit suicide at all. They were thrown in the hole, and they were being badly abused. Somebody told me to call him, and I did. And he, like I said, he is, he's written books. His Spence Law Firm. He's tried and won many nationally known cases, including the Karen Silkwood case. Yeah, he looks Indian. Definitely looks Indian.
Well, sometimes you got to watch out for him, too.
I would call, you know what, I would actually try to call him if you can. There's a contact number.
Got blue eyes. He's wearing a buckskin.
That's the guy I'm thinking of, too.
He's Caucasian.
Right.
Yeah, that's the guy.
Yeah, write this down, though, the 800 number. Try to call him and talk to him and see what happens. I'll tell you, he was receptive. The thing is, at the time, he couldn't go into Pennsylvania, but he referred me, and he sent an email to a friend of his, and that friend, he copied it to me, so I saw it, but he was really trying to get us help. But the number is 800-967-2117. He's gone up against a lot of big wheels.
There's also another number that says 844-376-1294.
I would definitely contact him.
And then his website is SpenceLawyers.com, attorneys Gary L. Spence.
You know what? You need to get on television. He might be the one to do it, too. Get on television and tell the story on television to all. You may recruit some people that really want to get involved.
A lot of people are afraid to get involved with the tribal and stuff because of the relation with the government and stuff. People don't understand. So there's lawyers out here that know the relationship between the government and the tribes, and they don't even want to go up against it because it's already it's like a taboo, or we don't want to mess with that. That's what the problem is, that the people themselves cannot get the representation that they need.
And a lot of lawyers, they're dropping because they don't see any hope. Because I'll tell you, there's a lot of people in power that
they're scared. They get scared, they get paid
exactly.
off, and they get run off.
Exactly.
I think we have
Chinupa back on with us, and we're getting ready to close. Chinupa, are you there? Chinupa, can you hear us? No? Okay. But that's what it is. There's a lot of people that they have that influence, but they don't feel that they can go up against a lot of this corruption.
So see, these people on the reservations, the people on the reservations, are basically left with no fucking help. They try to reach out. They are being hurt manipulated, corrupted, and dying because nobody wants to get involved. And the goddamn tribal government, that the whole system knows that, that they can just do what they want to the people, and they got no help. So what happens? They get hopeless. That's why they introduced the drugs. Let's make money off of their hopelessness. Let's kill them. Let's kill for that white man as long as we keep our jobs and we keep our little paychecks and we keep our sidekicks, Max.
You ever think of, does anyone ever think of applying for housing outside the reservation?
They have. They have seeked out advocacy groups, attorneys. I've been there trying to do that. When they hear that it's for the people of the reservation, they don't want to help. They clam the up. And I don't know why, that they're afraid or they're scared or there's some kind of a little understanding there that you don't get involved in it. I don't know.
Wow. Well, like I say,
it's hard. This man just told you this is why. This is why. Everybody keeps trying to tell everybody. It is hopeless on that reservation. Chinook says he lives in that shit every day. Well, you got to sit there and look out your yard and see people passed out, people on drugs, people doing the things they do. And the tribe allows all that shit in there, that bootlegging alcohol, them drugs. Those tribes could really take all the funding money and get people in there to chase them drug dealers out, but they won't do it.
You know, I hate to say it, but this country is so infested with drugs. I don't think they'll ever get all the drugs out of this country.
I told you, drugs is it's America's number one economic.
Yeah.
I've said this on other radio shows. I've said this to talking to individuals. Drugs is the biggest goddamn economics in this country.
This country's too infested with it now. Too infested. And mental health, too. Mental issues. It's sad, but this country, you know, this is a dying country. This will never come back.
It's going to take. I don't understand myself. Like, I've been so goddamn low on my load. I never turned to drugs and alcohol. I had a gun in my mouth at one time when I was 18 years old. I was tired at 18 years old. What's that saying? And you've got children that are 10, 8 years old taking their lives.
You know, I'm listening to you. My hand's not even on the mouse. Nothing in the studio, and this thing is moving all by itself. You know, sometimes the government's so corrupt that they get into situations where they get into these radio shows and they do all this extra stuff. But what I was going to say is,
but Chinook's right. People got to pull away from this, expecting that government to help you. He's right. Get back. Live on your own. We help each other. We reach out to outside sources for help. He's right about that, because this goddamn government, whether it's tribal, is not going to be there much longer. You better learn. You better align yourselves with people. You better help other people out.
This earth isn't going to be here much longer. Look what they've done to the earth. You know, this global warming, they talk about wanting to global warming, right? They talk about wanting to stop it, but yet they're still sending these missiles up to space. And where's all that pollution going from the missiles, rockets or whatever they're sending up there?
The white man's going to kill everybody. The white man's going to kill everybody. People shouldn't have to go down the tubes of that son of a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
But his own greed's going to kill himself. Kill the white man, he's going to take everybody. But you know what? That's the only thing that can kill the fucking white man is his own goddamn greed.
That's going to happen. But we are finished with the show. We've been off for the last 10 minutes off the air. But I sent I sent it out to everybody, and I can send it to you, Rachel, on Messenger.
Okay.
I'll send it to you so you can listen back on it and share it with others.
Yeah, I could. We this is just, you know, it just takes outside people like this reservation issue with looting them. We know what you're doing. I've read this paperwork. I hope that judge listens to my message. I read that hot trial hearing. You didn't shut your shit show down.
Mm-mm. You know, though, again, we need to educate. We need to get more educated on a lot of this stuff. And I'm willing to, you know, if anybody has, I've even sent resources for free computers. Jabril has them on his in his phone. I sent all these resources from the free computers, you know, free cell phones, all these things. And once people apply for them, if they get them, I can teach them how to use it right on the phone. But we need to educate some of the natives that are not familiar with researching and doing all these things. There's stuff out there that they can be getting. Maybe they're not going to be trusting lawyers and all that, but there are resources available.
It pisses me off that I hear Louie talking that they say, oh, Mary, can go get a restraining order against your own kids. She wouldn't have to do that if they'd stop the goddamn drugs. I mean,
one of my aunts,
you going to put a restraining.
One of my aunts took care of her son, and he was 73 years old. And she was 80-something. Took care of him all his life. Then there's some iron clouds up there in Wolf Point. She's still taking care of her sons, and they're in the 40s. They used to...
That's awful.
She used to be married to one of my wife's cousins. And then they separated, but she moved back to Wolf Point, and she still has all her sons. Some of them died of COVID, though.
This is awful that this tribe allows white man shit to come in. Start making them where they get violent, they're hurting each other, they're hurting their parents. And then they talk to them, well, we can give you restraining. And all what you can do is get the fucking drugs out of her, because if your drugs wasn't here, this woman would not have to begin restraining her against her own child.
Mm-mm.
Son of a bitch.
Well, you know, we have an imperfect
system. Who wants to
put
a restraining order on their own children because of drugs? And you tried, you allowed that. But you talk down to these people like, well, you can do this, but we can do this.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad. It's sad.
We have an imperfect system. We have people in this country running the country.
Yeah, and who made it that? Who made it that way? That goddamn white man. He's the one that created this whole system that everybody's in right now, and it's showing it's not working.
You got to hold
their asses to the flame for what everybody's in out here.
Our own people are the problem too, because like Chinupa mentioned before, we need to all come together, and we have division amongst ourselves. Our own races are divided. You know, some of them get into political areas, some of them get a little bit up there in the world, and they all of a sudden they forget where they came from, or they feel like they're going to interact with the population of people that are racist to us. But yet, because they have the same power, they're going to be getting pats on the back. So they're not going to think that they're part of the hatred of our people. They're going to feel like they're different. We have a division amongst our own people.
But you know, I wasn't even born and raised on a reservation. Like I said, by the time I was 18, I had a gun in the top of my mouth. I was tired of this shit out here when I was 18. I didn't even grow up on a reservation.
Mm-hmm.
So can you imagine what they're going through out there?
Mm-hmm. It's sad, but what can we do? We need to start coming together ourselves. That's the only way it's going to happen.
Well, what we need to stop doing is stopping these organizations out here, like this black group on the East Coast right now. who's trying to claim what they are and talking their fucking crap, because they're the ones hurting us more than helping us.
Jeez, there's two different Rachel White Eagle. Are these both the same?
What under our number?
No, in the in Messenger, Facebook. I sent it to you in your phone, but I was just looking at
that one might have been my old phone number, and then the most current one you got right there, the 0762.
Let me see.
I had to take out a different phone because my boyfriend was tracking me.
Oh, okay. So I don't, let me see if I got the
right
number.
My boyfriend, my ex. Found out he was finding out my phone number, so I had to put this phone under a totally different name.
Okay, so the number that, I mean, the message, is it 0762?
That's my current one. The other one is probably from my other old phone.
Oh, okay. Okay, I just sent it. Now, somebody sent a message to me. Thanks for the opportunity. Enjoyed the discussion. Whose number is 919-349?
I don't recognize that number.
Okay, because I was going to delete it, because I keep getting messages from this number, and
Let me have it. Can you give it to me?
The number is 919-349-7622.
Okay. I'll find out who that is.
Yeah, I don't know if it's some, because I've been getting messages.
I don't know it either.
And it'll say one sentence, and that's it. So I usually just block it, but for some reason, like, it's still coming up. Okay, so
is Louie still on?
Yes. Yeah.
What's that?
Oh, I just asked
you. That's out of North Carolina. 919's out of Relayed, North Carolina.
Is that that goddamn guy named Joe?
I don't know.
No,
he'd be on the show. He'd be calling into the studio, not my phone. Canupa, are you on with us? There's two 605s on and one 918. Louie, you're 918?
I'm 9930.
Oh, okay. So there's a 918. Is that you, Rachel?
Yes.
Okay, and there's a 605, 1440.
I don't know who that is.
I thought it was Chinupa, and if it was, maybe he's not able to talk. He's not on mute. No? I don't know. This one is 605. It's a 1440. That's not Chinupa's number, so I don't know who that is.
I don't recognize it either.
144. It's a 605 number, though.
What's the prefix after 605?
200.
200?
Yeah. Don't recognize
that
either?
I don't recognize it.
I don't know who it is.
Oh, give me that one, too. Give me that one, too.
That's a 605-200. 1440.
Okay. Well, I'm going to get off of here. I got to put my phone on the charger. Louie, can I talk to you later?
Yeah.
Okay. So we went way over. So I don't know what when you listen back on the show, I don't know how far it'll go into it. It might go into the end of it, but being live, it ended about 10 minutes ago.
Okay.
All right.
Let me know if any of you want to come back on again. We can schedule a Friday, Saturday, or something show.
Okay.
If you want to come on and host.
Tariq wanted me to be on his show.
Okay, Tariq,
give a follow up.
Tariq has a global station, and that's the one that Chinupa is using now with Tariq. So he hasn't been using the Friday and Saturday of Blog Talk Radio. So that's open.
He called Fridays and Saturdays.
He sent me a message. He said, come on the radio Friday.
Yeah.
But he didn't specify a time.
Did he tell you how to get into it? Because it's different from this.
All I know is it's always that same number that he always has, Tariq's number.
Oh, wait a minute. Chinupa sent me, hold on, let me see if I can find it. Chinupa sent me the link to the show. What did I do with it? Oh, here it is.
I didn't mean to yell, but I'm just so damn mad at all this stuff.
No, I don't blame you. That you sound like me, but I'm upset in a different. Whoops, wait a minute. I have the link that to that show that Chinupa sent, but they don't have a telephone number there.
I got numbers, and Chinoop's got them.
Oh, okay. I just have.
So Louie, I'll send you the one for tonight.
Yeah. Okay, so we will end, and I'll talk to you later. Thank you for coming on, and hopefully you can find out who all these people are with these numbers not saying anything.
Okay.
I call them cowards when they can't speak out. Later.
Bye.
Okay, I'll talk to y'all later.
Uh-huh.